3, 2, 1.
This week on Ticket Stubs, we're visiting the origin story of one of the most sadistic killers ever to be presented on film. It's the origin story of Jigsaw, and how he became the remorseless murderer we all know today. That's right, it's 1994's Home Alone.
That was a good one.
You're a goober.
Hello, Kieran. Hello, Dan.
I am a goober.
But you too.
Hello, buddies. Sorry,
hello, friend.
How are you? How are you both?
Well, this is our first time recording in the morning, and I am suffering because I'm a nighttime gal.
Yeah. It's early for a Saturday, that's for sure.
It's a beautiful time of the day. The sun's still rising. Dogs are barking.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm just a pussy.
No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you, Dana?
I'm probably in the same boat as Kieran. I'm a bit of a sleepy boy. But it's a lovely little day to spend with my pals, and we're talking about a wholesome little Christmas movie, so things could be worse.
Are you guys in the Christmas spirit yet?
Yeah.
Did this movie get you in the Christmas spirit?
Well, my sister and I, every Christmas morning, we watch two Christmas movies. And I had to check with her beforehand, like, what Christmas movies are we going to watch? Because we have to watch Home Alone for the podcast. And she was like, I guess we'll watch Elf first and then we'll watch something else. And I was like, okay.
Oh, God.
What was the other one we were going to watch? That one with Keira Knightley.
Love Actually.
And, yeah, we were going to watch Love, because... In the early morning, Dad's awake, and Dad's not going to want to watch Love Actually with me, Mum, and my sister. So we have to watch Elf first, and then Dad will have his Christmas nap, and then we'll watch Love Actually. Yeah.
Has everyone got their Christmas shopping done?
No.
Yeah,
no. Nah. I'm close, but...
I bought 2 presents.
Nothing but coal for you for this year, Kieran.
You guys got your Christmas trees up?
I haven't put a Christmas tree up in years.
Dane.
Oh, it's because you're the Grinch.
Yeah, I was going to say, what a Grinch.
Yeah, I'm on the Grinch's side. The Grinch was right all along. The Whos are a bunch of ableist little fucks. They pick on him because he was born with a heart that was too small. And then the biggest bully of them all ends up becoming the mayor of Whoville. And furthermore, the Who just wanted a bit of the Grinch just wanted a bit of shush. And no one would shut the fuck up, running around bashing drums and blowing trumpets. Imagine if we had to put up with that at this time in the morning. Everyone would be on the Grinch's side.
I love that. Well, obviously we're talking about Home Alone today. Tell me about your experience.
Your pick.
Yeah, tell me about your experience with this movie. You guys have obviously seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kieran, you go first.
I had... Teddy. Don't lick the litter box. That's rude. I had all of the Home Alone movies on VHS as a child. So we had this 3-pack of VHSs that was all stuck together. So you folded it open.
Yeah,
and
damn.
It had the first 3. So we had Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, where he's in New York, and then Home Alone 3, where he, it's a different kid.
Yeah.
And there's a remote control car and stuff. And, yeah, I used to watch them all the time.
So yeah.
I love this movie.
Well, I'm going to buy you Home Sweet Home Alone for Christmas.
No, thank you.
I was really tempted to watch that one instead of this one. Yeah. Just to fuck with you.
I actually watched a breakdown on it, on the new one, to hear what the hell it's about. And, yeah, it sounds pretty damn weird.
Yeah, no, I didn't like Home Alone, for quite a while. I don't know. It just wasn't a film I enjoyed. And I hadn't watched it for many years. And last night when I watched it, I had a lot of fun with it. I do like Macaulay Culkin. I wish he actually got a chance to be in more stuff because he's just fun to see on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes everyone feel young. Like when you see Macaulay Culkin, you're like, oh my God, I feel so young.
Yeah. And I think I've got more of a soft spot for him, the Culkins these days, because I love the TV series Succession, which his brother is in, Kieran Culkin. He's fantastic in that. So I think I had warmed up to this movie a lot more just from watching his brother and everything. Mm. Who's in this movie, of all things?
Mm. Yeah, I've got that written down in my trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
That Imagine every time he walks into a room.
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
But yeah, no, yeah, I enjoyed it. Didn't like it growing up, but I like it as an adult, it seems.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I always really liked this movie. I remember watching it as a kid. We would always watch this, The Santa Claus, and The Griswold's Christmas. That were kind of like our three that we'd kind of cycle through. Home Alone was a lot of fun. Interesting this time, though, I forgot how little the, like, the robbery bit at the end is the film.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much other stuff that just happens at the start of the movie, and it's only, like, the last, I don't know, 25 minutes, I guess, that the robbery happens and all of the fun stuff really happens. But as a kid, I would just remember just that. I was just like, yeah, this is great. This is the best movie ever.
I had totally forgotten. I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, but where Joe Pesci is in the family house at the very start.
Oh, yeah, when he's casing the joint.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as a policeman. He's dressed as a cop, and I'm like, isn't he the burglar? Why is he there as a cop? Is he a burglar in the second one? And I just could not remember, and I wasn't putting it together. like, that's so strange. But obviously we'll get into why he's there and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had forgotten so much about this movie.
Yeah. No, it's a bit of a blast. And if you want to get in the Christmas spirit, it's a good option. So.
And everyone is great in it. Like,
oh, yeah.
All the characters. This is probably why I didn't like it growing up. But I hate all the characters in the movie. I hate the Macaulay Culkin's character. What's his name?
Kevin.
I don't know how I forgot that. I watched it last night. He's just a rude little prick the entire movie. The rest of the family are awful. Probably the only one who has some sort of likable feature is his mum, because she gets the most concerned for him throughout the movie. And Catherine O'Hara is excellent in everything. I love
She's
her.
She's fantastic, she yeah. But she is a bit of a bitch, though, to Kevin at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's the least bitchy out of everyone in the family. Like, again, we'll talk about it when we get into it. But probably the Wet Bandits are the most likable guys in the movie. And they're the villains. So, what does that
say? Yeah. Especially Marv, because he's not the smartest guy. And he gets bossed around by Harry. And he's a bit cute.
Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci.
Oh. What a combo.
I love Daniel Stern. Whenever Daniel Stern pops up in anything, I'm like,
Have you guys ever seen the movie Bushwhacked with Daniel Stern?
No.
It's this movie that we loved as a child, but no one's ever heard of it or seen it. But it's Daniel Stern, and he's a criminal again. And then he somehow gets control of this scout troop, and they have to follow him through the wilderness, and he doesn't know anything about anything. And it's such a funny movie. Well, I remember it being really funny.
That sounds like a Disney Channel movie.
It probably was.
I don't know if you guys realized, but both Home Alone and Goodfellas came out in the same year, and Joe Pesci plays a very different character in Goodfellas compared to this bumbling fool in Home Alone.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Speaking of, I wanted to go through, like, what movies came out this year, like, so everybody kind of had, like, an idea of the landscape.
Mm.
So we had, like, Jacob's Ladder came out.
Intense.
One of the most depressing movies ever. Misery, one of my
Stephen
King movies. Yep.
It came out. Edward Scissorhands, Total Recall. I don't know if you guys have seen Awakenings.
No, I don't think so.
That's Robert De Niro.
I think I've seen it many years ago. Is he crippled in that movie? Is he or something?
Yeah, he's like, or am I wrong? He's in a hospital. And Robin Williams.
Oh damn.
And it's like catatonic patients in a hospital, and they're trying to wake him up.
Mm, I think I have seen it like
ages ago.
Way long ago. Yeah,
I don't think it was like that successful. Yeah, but Crybaby came out, the John Waters movie, Crybaby. Pretty Woman came out. Ghost? That's a big movie.
Yeah, Stella Year.
Oh, my love, my darling, I hunger for your touch. Yeah. There was a lot of sequels that came out too, like The Neverending Story 2. The Rescuers Down Under, if you guys remember that movie.
Is that the mice? or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. He has mice that rescues children from bad situations. Yeah. There was one that was... Have you never heard of those?
I mean, I think I've definitely heard of the rescuers, but I just probably never decided to look too much into it.
Yeah, so there's the rescuers and then there's the rescuers down under. And the rescuers down under was always my favourite because there was this goanna that was like a bad boy.
little baby Dane would have seen it, guaranteed. But yeah, I can't remember a thing about it.
And in relation to our next podcast, Die Hard 2 came out.
Right. Oh, is that a little early teaser there, Kieran?
Bit of sizzle.
Yes, it is indeed. Ooh, spicy, spicy.
Let's get these steaks off this barbecue. Let's go.
Let's get this roaster cooking.
Good.
Alrighty. You guys ready to get stuck in? You guys got your Christmas hats on?
Yes, I'm slowly waking up.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Well, actually...
My feet are bare, and I'm ready to step on some nails.
Sorry, but before we do, I just thought, should we just quickly mention who directed this?
Oh, yeah!
So, it's directed by Christopher Columbus, and probably what he's most well-known for these days is he did the Harry Potter.
Discovering America.
That's right. He discovered America,
and then
he decided to go into filmmaking. He did Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Bicentennial Man, which is with the late, great Rob Williams, stupid, depressing movie. Another little Christmas movie, Jingle All the Way, which is great. He's done a lot.
Maybe we'll do that next Christmas.
But he also...
I would love to watch Jingle All the Way with you boys, because it's fucking weird. It's a fucking weird movie.
Well... Along with those lists of great movies, he did Pixels with Adam Sandler, so...
Yeah. Did you know Kevin James is president in that movie?
Oh, is he just...
I feel like when we worked together, Ryan, you would say that a lot.
Yeah, probably my only factor now about that movie.
Like, you'd always just, we'd be talking about something, and then you'd be like, and do you remember, like, Kevin James was the president in Pixels? Like,
maybe that's the most.
Like, the only reason I know that is because of you.
Maybe that's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen on film, was Kevin James as president. Alrighty, let's talk about some wet bandits, shall we?
Please.
Alright, so. A very quick summary of the plot is it focuses on an 8-year-old troublemaker who must protect his house from a pair of burglars when he is accidentally left home alone by his family during Christmas vacation. So,
is this based on a true story?
I don't think so.
Do you have something to tell us, Kieran? Sure?
I was going to say, Ryan, do you have something to tell us? Were you a little rascal?
I wasn't. No, I was a good boy. I was no troublemaker. Yeah.
I'm afraid of authority.
Okay. So, So the film is set at Christmas time, and the McAllister family is preparing to spend Christmas with Peter and Frank's brother, Rob, who has moved to Paris. So the entire family is gathered at Peter and Kate's house in an upmarket suburb of Chicago. Just the night before their flight to Paris. So the house is absolutely insanely busy as the main McAllister's family has 5 children. Peter's brother's family is also there and they also have 5 children. So the house is absolutely pumping.
Was so confused about like who was whose child, which I thought maybe it was on purpose, but I was like, who's his sister? Who's his brother? Yeah. Who's his cousin? Yeah. What's going on here?
The house is like a mansion. It's like 5 houses of today's standards glued together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like the weirdest thing is like trying to figure out who was whose sibling. Like Macaulay Culkin's real brother is in this, but he's not in his family. He's in the brother's family. Like that's not one of Macaulay Culkin's brother's in the movie.
He's a cousin to him in the movie.
Yeah, he's a cousin, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cousin.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all over the place. But, yes, the main family, so Peter and Kate's family, has Buzz, the eldest, the meaner big brother, Megan, the second eldest, Linny, the middle child of the five, Jeff, the youngest, but still slightly older than the youngest child, and then we have our main character, the little misunderstood eight-year-old character called Kevin, played by Macaulay Culkin in probably the best role ever. He is so good.
Yeah. It's iconic too, the and the face of the scream.
Yeah. Yeah, the little aftershave moment's a bit cute.
Right, that repeated shot of him running up the stairs and like, waving his arms around and looking at the camera and screaming.
It's funny you were talking about that, because that was really the only part of the movie that I couldn't stand. I was like, it was too loud for my fragile little ears, and I just wanted him to shut the fuck up.
Oh, I thought it was so funny. I think it's so funny.
And like, as a kid, I was like, oh yeah, I'd probably do that if I was home alone. But then as like an adult, I'm like, oh, that is quite strange. Is that what people do? Just run around screaming? Yeah, so anyway, the house is buzzing as the family tries to finish packing for their holiday. And Kevin, our little man, is just walking around the house trying to get some help with packing his suitcase because he's never done it before. But no one wants to help him for some reason. And everyone is super mean to him about it.
He's eight. Like, give him a break.
Help this poor kid out, like, would you?
Even for an eight-year-old, like, he seems quite, like, mentally older than an eight-year-old. Like, but if I had an eight-year-old, like, Nick's sister, youngest sister, is, I think, 11. Mm. And I would still help her pack her suitcase if she asked me, because she's 11.
Yeah.
Like, if an eight-year-old was like, excuse me, can you please help me pack my suitcase? I'd be like, hey, you know what? Thanks for asking for help, because you're eight. Like,
yeah. I still want help with packing my suitcase so I don't forget anything. I'm just like, yeah.
What's strange is that, like, I think there's maybe some sort of ulterior motive to him asking for everyone's help, because he's clearly very capable in this movie of setting elaborate traps and looking after himself. I'm like, fucking go and do it yourself. I think he's putting on an act.
Well, I think they're probably like, Kevin, you're way smarter than you're letting on. But at the same time, he's going overseas. How would an eight-year-old know what you need to go overseas? To another country, like...
That's true.
Yeah.
The whole family is really mean to him when he's trying to get some help. But meanwhile, downstairs, there's a policeman who's wanting to talk to the parents of the house. That everyone just kind of keeps ignoring. Even parents that walk past, like older people that walk past, just ignore him as well. And I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that would be... Imagine just like a policeman standing in your foyer and you're just being like, I'm busy.
I've got other things
like,
to do.
I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I understand you're a policeman, but why are you in my house?
Like, who let you in?
Who let him
policemen,
in?
Policemen. Yeah. Policemen don't have, like, free reign to just go into whatever house they want and, like, hang out to talk to people. Like, you're meant to knock on the door and wait. Rude. Obviously, we get revealed that it's not a real policeman, but still.
Yeah. And this is my favourite boy, Joe Pesci, as well, this cop we're talking about.
The man. Yep.
Yeah, but you want to know what's funny? Robert De Niro was actually supposed to play
really
Joe Pesci's character. Yeah,
that'd be so good. Oh my god.
Yeah,
like Joe Pesci is perfect, I think. But
yeah. The only reason he took the role is because he's like I don't get to work with kids. I wanted to work with kids. Like, that's his only family movie that I could find. Like, everything else is either a drama or he's playing a psychopath.
Which he does very well.
But yeah, eventually someone talks to the policeman while Kevin is also there, and he gets to see the policeman's golden tooth, which Kevin thinks is a bit weird. But then he runs into the kitchen to have the pizza with everyone else. However, Kevin's older brother, Buzz, has already eaten all of Kevin's pizza and then offers to vomit it back up for him if he wants it. And Kevin starts attacking him and spills drinks all over the tickets for tomorrow. And someone is his uncle, and what I think is like the meanest thing in the world to say to a kid, his uncle just turns around and goes, look what you did, you little jerk. Okay, first off, the only thing that happened to you was you got a bit of eggnog on your pants. Calm down.
Yeah. Like,
you're a grown man. Yeah. Calm the hell down.
Yeah, he's horrible. He's probably like the most horrible person.
He absolutely like he absolutely nails that line though.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Oh. And then anyway, yeah.
Dane.
Everyone hates Kevin.
That would be the perfect role for you, Dane.
I'd be insulted if I didn't agree.
You just call kids jerks anyway. You don't even need the
law. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. When Dane rides his bike, he just mows down children. He pretends like he's doing exercise, but he just runs them over.
Well, it's every time I go out on my bike, I get chased by magpies. And then if a kid walks in front of me, he's gone. I'm cleaning him up.
Yeah. Man, I haven't been swooped by a magpie since in a long time. Oh, I used to walk to school. And there was this one magpie, and it would follow me every single day to school and swoop me all the way to the main road until I got, like, within eye distance
of
the school. And once I was walking, and I'm like, oh, fucking, this magpie, it's... I used to pull, like, my neck muscles from, like, ducking, like, what? And one day I was walking, and I had my, like, PE clothes in my bag, and I'm, like, swinging, and I heard the bloody magpie come in. And I swung my bag up and I hit the magpie by accident. Never swooped me again.
Oh, damn.
Oh, good. Amazing. Good job.
So if you ever get swooped by a magpie, maybe try smacking it.
Hit him with the school bag.
Might leave you alone. I don't endorse animal cruelty, but magpies are fucking evil.
Oh, fuck. Get rid of magpies. Yeah, magpies are garbage. Worst.
Yeah.
Magpies and snakes, launch them both into the sun.
No, my grandfather used to make friends with the magpies that lived around his area, so he would feed them sausages and he never got swooped. We'd just sit and feed them sausages every arvo and then they became our buddies.
Nah.
Straya!
But anyway, everyone hates Kevin. And then while the family is cleaning up the mess, I think it's Kevin's ticket gets thrown in the bin with all of the napkins as well, which, I don't remember from previous viewings. But, yeah, one ticket gets thrown in the bin, which you think is Kevin's.
Yeah, which I, like, when I travel,
yeah,
like, maybe I don't remember ever getting a ticket before I flew. You always get them at the airport. Maybe because this is the 90s, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Different time, man.
But yeah, why would you? For one, why would you keep all the tickets on the kitchen table that you're just asking to forget them, or something to happen to them?
They're surrounded, like, by drinks.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I hope nothing happens to, like, these tickets.
Keep them in your travel wallet.
And some of the tickets are first class tickets as well. Like, there. That's a little bit of money.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Kevin is sent to the third floor bedroom to sleep on his own. And him and his mum have a bit of a chat. Mum's a little bit of a bitch to him. And then Kevin tells him that he wishes his family would disappear. And he goes to sleep. The one thing I want to talk about this... you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, we talked about the size of the house and how it's massive. It's got a basement, a ground floor, a second floor, and a third floor. Like, to explain how big it is basically a four-story house.
Yeah. It's a bloody monster.
As if you took all the houses on that street and just shoved them all onto the one block of land.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to talk about in this opening scene is, like, Kevin is made out to be a brat, but I think everyone else, every other character, is so much worse than Kevin in this opening scene.
They are.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, they're all awful.
They're all just terrible.
He's like
terrible
a misunderstood child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody understands poor Kevin.
Yeah. Our poor little darling. However, overnight, due to a snowstorm, the power actually goes out. And since it's the 90s, all the alarm clocks are turned off as they have no power and the entire family oversleeps. So in the morning, the family frantically rushes to try and get ready so that they can make their flight on time. They're all taking their bags out to their rides to the airport. And a neighbor, who's roughly Kevin's age, appears and starts going through all of their bags for a look. For some reason.
How fucking annoying is this kid?
It's so
he weird. Comes out of nowhere. He's hassling the shuttle bus drivers who are there just trying to do their job. Now their schedule's fucked because his family overslept. And his little kid's yammering in their ear. Get out of here. And then when all the family come along to like hurry and pack the vans and everything, he's like, they're doing a head count for all the family members and he's back to the family because he's going through all their luggage. He's and like, pull out cameras.
Toys.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. Go away.
Yeah.
Look, we all knew that one kid that was like that when we were growing up. Like, there was always that one kid that was like that.
But this is like a super wealthy street. That kid isn't going without. Like, I imagine he has just as many toys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird plot contrivance. Because, then there's a family member who's in charge of counting all the kids, and she counts the neighbor's kid as one of the kids. So there's all of the kids, including what is meant to be Kevin. So the family don't even think. They all get in the two cars, and they drive to the airport. It's just, it's a very strange thing to have happen.
Because, I couldn't remember how they end up managing to forget Kevin. And like I said, they... That little kid's back is to everyone going through their shit. So she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and like taps him and doesn't think to check who it is. But, I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
I don't know. So you guys
I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. So when you guys go to the airport, you don't have a kid that randomly looks through all your luggage before you go just to see what's in your bag?
Not usually.
Yeah.
Not you.
No, but if only Chappelle Corby did that. Oh!
Oh, that's an Australian reference for you. Oh my god.
Yeah. And about 12 years out of date.
Yeah. If that kid was around, he probably would have got a boogie board out and taken it for a spin.
Oh god. Interesting reference then.
Thanks, mate. It's been my favourite one in this whole series.
Anyway, meanwhile, Kevin wakes up to find the house completely empty after checking every room. He even checks the He even checks the garage to see if his parents' cars are still there, as he believes they would have taken them to get to the airport. So Kevin goes back inside and he thinks that his wish came true to make his family disappear. And is very excited. So this is quickly followed by a montage of Kevin doing all the things he isn't allowed to do when his parents are home, such as running around the house screaming, eating popcorn while jumping on a bed, and other completely random things that don't make any sense. It's a bit of a cute scene, that one.
I'm just wondering, do we ever see Kevin's bedroom? Like, does he have a bedroom? Or is it just like, oh, you're the youngest. You can, like, just curl up at the foot of the bed.
In this dog bed we got you. Well, is the room on the third floor his? And then because he doesn't want to share it with that kid who wets his pants, which is his brother. Like his real brother.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Yeah, we never see him. And then he sleeps in his parents' bed for the rest of the movie. So, I don't know. The parents make it to the airport. They're on the plane. Everything's good. Their parents are living in first class, and the kids are all in economy, which is pretty great. Kevin's mum, Kate, believes that she's forgotten something, but can't put her finger on it.
I don't know if you guys got the same level of joy that I got out of it, but when we see all the parents or the adults in first class, the little prick uncle, because he's sitting next to his wife, and he starts pocketing all the stuff the airline
gives
him. He's like, no, take this, it's ours now. And the wife's like, no, I don't want to do that. He's like, do it, steal it. Bullies her into like stealing of this shit they're not meant to take.
I love it. Yeah, and then he's trying to act natural and the lady's like, champagne. And he's like, oh, yeah. While he's in the middle of stealing stuff.
I just think it's funny. Like, she doesn't know where her 8-year-old child is. Like, If my dog is being too quiet, I'm like, is he okay? Like, where's my dog? Yeah. Like, yeah. Let alone a child.
Well, that's just because you're a better person than everyone in this film.
Yeah. It's so weird. Because, like, yeah, Kevin is the youngest child as well. But then, yeah, the mum is just like, I don't care at all. Like,
yeah. Does this film share a thought process, like A Quiet Place, where the youngest child is left in the disposable, like, put to the back of their minds?
Yeah, disposable.
Yeah,
they're like, we're pros at this. We don't have to worry about the kids. They're going to look after each other.
They've already got four others, so
who needs five? I suppose if... Because The Quiet Place is set with it on, like, you know, the confines of our... Well, maybe they saw Home Alone or went, hang on. And then they watch that Cheaper by the Dozen, Kieran.
Yeah.
And that's how they just get rid of all their little kids all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 100%. I like that. I subscribe to that.
Yeah, but then eventually, after having a talk with her husband, Kate realizes that she left Kevin home alone.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
that's the name of the film.
Insert movie title here.
Oh.
They said it, everyone.
Meanwhile, back at the McAllister house, Kevin is living a good life. He takes Buzz's life savings, practices shooting his BB gun, and watches a gangster film that he hasn't been allowed to watch before, and eats a large amount of junk food. The gangster film is amazing. I was going to say, I think everyone knows it, but like that film was made specifically for Home Alone. It's not like a classic 1940s movie, but yeah, God, it's good.
They do a great job of it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like remaking a film from the 1940s, because I've seen a couple of those old olden day films and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this seems very realistic.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Filthy Angels or something?
Yeah. Angels with Filthy Souls, yeah, that's I think it is.
Yeah.
Like
what a great title, and too.
Everybody, that's probably like one of the iconic, like, you've got the scream that he does after the aftershave scene. That's iconic. But everybody knows the Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Yeah. And yeah, keep the change, you filthy animal. Yeah.
Yeah, the filthy animal thing, now it's turned into Christmas shirts where it says Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah, it's still going on like nearly 30 years later.
But this movie came out 31 years ago.
Like, whoa.
Good Lord.
We weren't even born yet.
No.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we cut to the police officer from the start of the movie, who is actually shown to be a robber. His name is Marv, and he has an accomplice called Harry, and they have been kind of casing out the whole street to figure out which houses they could rob that are going to be unoccupied during the holiday season. Harry really wants to rob the McAllister house. So that night they actually attempt to go and rob the house while Kevin is watching his gangster film. But Kevin ends up scaring them away by turning on one of the lights in the basement. So they're like, oh shit, maybe this house isn't empty. So they leave. which is pretty fun. But yeah, the two robbers have good banter. They're good together.
Oh, they're great. Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are fantastic together.
Yeah.
Iconic duo.
Definitely. Yeah, the McAllisters arrive in Paris and they try to get a flight home. But they have no luck because it's the holiday season and everything's booked out. So Kate forces a French lady off the phone for some reason. I don't know why she targeted her exactly. And gets onto the police department. And they send an officer to go and check on Kevin.
Yeah, it takes them ages to her. It takes Kevin's mother ages to convince them to even check on him. Like, and the police are just like, "Why are you calling us?" But like, also, she didn't do a very good job explaining what was happening. She was like, "My son's home alone. You need to check on him." And it's like, if you just said, "Hello, I am calling from Paris. We forgot to bring our 8-year-old. Our 8-year-old is home by himself. I give you permission to enter my house and take him so that he is safe."
That's true, because during that scene, I was like, man, what a terrible cop. Because he's like, you want me to go to your house and check on your son? And she's like, yes. And he's just not grasping the level of severity that is, because she's manic and hysteric, like, you're on the other side of the world with her son alone. And no, I hadn't realized that the cop is just confused by this nutcase woman calling. I just thought he was a terrible man.
When I was in year two, I had a teacher and we would practice calling 000 so that if we ever had to call 000, we'd be like professional at it. And clearly Kevin McAllister's mother never got that sort of treatment because she had no idea how to make a 911 call.
Yeah.
Well, they can just get the maid or the butler to call the police from their seven-story house.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The gardener.
Yeah. I actually think there's a little bit of a plot hole that comes from this, because I think they try and call the house, but then they say the phones are down.
Mm.
But then Kevin orders a pizza, I think, that night or the next night.
Yeah.
And then he also calls the police from the house. So, I don't know. Anyway, so they send a policeman to go and check on Kevin, but Kevin thinks it's the robbers back again, so he still continues to hide and doesn't answer the door. So the policemen, being the police in this movie, knock on the front door and then just leave.
Yeah.
Don't call out or anything.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and I think he radios back, and I think he's like, get her to count her kids again. And it's like, she obviously would know which one's missing. Like, why does no one give a shit?
Yeah. And she should have been like, my son, Kevin, go to the house, call out Kevin, and say, hey, Kevin, I got sent here by your mum, Kate. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't think the robbers would know that.
Mm. But like, there's a part later in the film where Kevin is starting to look after himself, and he goes to the grocery shop. And the cashier is kind of questioning why he's home alone. And she's like, where do you live? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't tell you that. You're a stranger. So he's been trained in these kind of scenarios, not to talk to strangers and, you know, if they have the information. So, you'd expect the mum to give him all that information. Yep, he knows who I am and all this. Here's his secret question we prepared years ago.
Yeah.
Do that. Ask him that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we forgot to mention, like, earlier, this old guy. Like, Kevin, he's 8, so he's, like, afraid of a lot of things. He's afraid of the furnace in the basement. Like, he's afraid of an old man that lives on the street and shovels ice because his brother told him a story that he, like, killed people and has dead bodies in his trash can. Like, so he's just, he's alone, but... And he's having a great time, but he is also 8 and he's afraid of and everything an 8-year-old would be afraid of.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I might say that furnace scene, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, can relate.
Spooky as a kid. Yeah.
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 And the way that they like portrayed the furnace as like this thing that Kevin thought would eat him, like that was amazing. Mm. I love that.
It was done
that
really
scene.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, he's scared of his own shadow, more or less, but he's ready to go toe-to-toe with a couple of house invaders.
Yeah. But anyway, the next day, Kevin is living the grown-up life and has his first experience with aftershave, which gives us the iconic scream, face, and the picture from the poster, pretty much.
I love his, like, he's talking to himself throughout the movie and explaining, like... Yeah, I did this. I cleaned under my armpits and I even cleaned inside my belly button, which I've never done before, but I quite enjoyed it. And he's like, today I'm going out to buy milk. I also can't seem to find my toothbrush. And it's like, it's probably because they must have packed a bag for him and put his toothbrush in it and that's why he can't find it.
Yeah.
But which is why he ends up having to go out. But yeah, and then he's like, I need to buy milk and I need to do this and I need to blah, 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 blah. And then he's putting on aftershave because he's a big old grown up now.
Yeah.
Because he's found his brother's pocket money stash, isn't it? That's where he comes into all his money.
Yeah, so like after he does the aftershave and he has a bad time, then he climbs his brother's shelves and he takes his money after breaking every single shelf. Yeah.
So his brother Buzz has all of the good stuff stashed in his room,
yeah.
Which I'd also like to comment, like, so he goes through, like, he has this thing, this box full of his private stuff where it's firecrackers and all good little goodies and Playboy magazines, and he's like, oh, gross, they're not wearing any clothes, ew. Like, but he actually pulls out a picture and he's like, oh, Buzz, your girlfriend, woof. And it's like, it's
such a good line.
But, I've got a little bit of.
I lost it over it last night. And I've done it again.
But so that picture of the girlfriend, they didn't want to actually like put out a casting call and be like, ugly girls, come and get your picture taken as part of the prop thing. And I can't remember if it was Chris Columbus's son or the writer's son, but it was one of their sons. They actually put a wig on him so that they wouldn't make a little girl feel bad about her looks by featuring That's her nice. As the ugly girlfriend. So instead they just made a little, their son feel yeah, bad about his
dressed up as a woman feel bad. Yeah, so in Kevin's attempt to get money and smashing all of his shelves, he also releases Buzz's pet tarantula, which is the most terrifying pet I can think of. So yeah, big no.
Yeah.
Big no from me.
Can't imagine being like, hey, you know what? I want a tarantula. It doesn't have any real feelings. It's just pure bloodlust in an animal.
Boy, I hope it doesn't escape during the night and, you know, attack me while I'm sleeping or anything fun.
Yeah. Tarantulas are crazy, man. We live in Australia. We have like, when you're a child, even your school, you grow up with this like instilled fear of critters and small creepy crawly things. Like you get told like, this is this type of spider because we have so many. Like, so the idea of having a spider as a pet really skeeves me out because spiders over here are a big no-no. Yeah. There's a lot of spiders and a lot of them they could, you know, make you really sick and die.
Mm.
They want to eat your babies.
Yep.
I guess in America they've got bears, so they're like, oh, a spider, that's cute.
Yeah, it's so small. How much harm can it do? I don't know if you guys had
spiders
the same experience.
Spiders and snakes, fuck them off.
Yeah, you get them out of here. I don't know if you guys had the same experience as a kid too, but I always thought like quicksand was going to be a real problem when I was an adult.
Like,
thank God 100%. I know how to escape from quicksand, and I know the different species of snakes and spiders, so thank God, the big three.
Like for our listeners that are overseas, like spiders over here are such a problem. Like if you leave your shoes outside, you get taught as a child to like smack your shoes against things to make sure that all the spiders fall out. Mm. Like, and so that you don't put your foot in and get like bitten by a spider. You also get taught like to check under the toilet seat for spiders. You get taught not to leave piles of clothes around because funnel web spiders, the biggest, scariest spiders of them all. Well, actually, they're quite small, but they're very scary.
Yeah, they're
and
hairy boys.
They're fucking ruthless.
Yeah.
They have nothing to lose, and they love to hide in clothing piles, and they'll come after you.
You talking about quicksand, Ryan, reminds me, because when The Mummy came out, like Brendan Fraser's The Mummy, I was terrified of quicksand as well, but for years I believed that those scarab beetles I was going to find them in my house or in my backyard.
They scare fucked. Me so Awful. Much.
Yeah. We should do The Mummy one day.
Mate.
Yeah.
That's my favourite movie, I swear. Oh my God.
I rewatched it this year. It's great. But anyway, sorry boys, I've got to talk
it
track
is,
too much.
It is a good movie.
Yeah. But yeah, Kevin's messed up Buzz's room, the tarantulas escapes, and then we cut to our two robbers, the Wet Bandits, hitting a home in the street. And so they're just ransacking it, taking all the goodies. But then they hear a message on the answering machine from the McAllisters saying that they are in Paris. And so that the home is empty. So they agree to rob that house tonight. After leaving their signature call card where they turn on every tap in the house and leave, so the house floods. So hence the name.
They clog the sinks and everything so that it floods. Mm. Which is such a dumb idea, because then, everybody knows, like, where they've been.
Why I love you do that line at the end too. Yeah.
Yeah. I love how disgusted Joe Pesci is by Daniel Stern's actions. He's like, what were you doing? He's like, oh, you were clogging the sinks again, flooding the house, weren't you? He's like, you're sick, man. He's like, I'm not sick. He's like, you are sick. That's a sick thing to do. And he's so disgusted. Yeah. By it. It's great.
He's like, we're just stealing here. We're not doing vandalism.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, it's so good. Kevin goes out on an outing to get a toothbrush. As he can't seem to find his anywhere. And he has a face-to-face run-in with his neighbor, who he believes is a serial killer or has killed some people in the past. And the neighbor gives him the biggest goddamn desk there of all time. So no wonder Kevin runs in fear and steals the
toothbrush.
That
poor old man. Oh, that's just his face. It's just such, his face.
Such an intense, like, smolder at him. It's like, oh.
He's got like piercing blue eyes too. Oh, it's just crazy looking man.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do himself any favors in the movie though. Like, he's portrayed as this terrifying neighbor, but he never he's like, hey Kevin.
Yeah, just waves to him or anything.
He's always shooting him deathy.
So yeah, Kevin does a little bit of stealing and runs home. But then, while he's on his way home and he's crossing the street, the Wet Bandits are driving their van while they're having a bit of an argument, and they almost run Kevin over. And I think that's my favorite shot of the movie, is the van pulling up to Kevin and him just screaming at him. He doesn't move. He just screams as it, like, comes an inch from his face, which I think is so funny. But yeah.
He's got no road sense. My dog has more road sense than Kevin McCallister.
Yeah, but then Kevin has gets a talking to from the driver, who is actually Harry, the Wet Bandit, and Kevin recognizes his gold tooth as the policeman from the start of the movie. But Harry also recognizes Kevin, but he can't exactly place it. So then they decide to start following him.
Not creepy at all. In a van.
Not creepy, not suspicious. Just slowly following him in his big old van.
And, like, Kevin knows about stranger danger. Like, he would know, like, oh, men in a van, that's a hard no. Like, stay far away from that.
Yeah.
To his credit, I guess he does, because he doesn't get in the van. But, yeah, he tries to walk away as if everything's okay. Like, he tries playing it cool. And then he breaks into a swift sprint, and that's when they realise they've got the right boy.
Kevin ends up losing them in a little nativity scene. And they go home. So is it that night where Kevin... Sorry, I think I've got this in the wrong area. Is this the night where Kevin throws the fake party? Is that that one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Kevin throws a bit of a fake party. So he has a lot of cardboard cutouts, one of them of Michael Jordan, and a few mannequins lying around. So he turns on all the house, plays some really loud music, and then has a few of the mannequins on strings and kind of pulls them to make them dance. I think it's so funny.
They must have so much money that they're just like, yeah, we'll have a couple of mannequins in the house. Everyone can have a cardboard cutout of their favorite person. You have some cardboard cutouts at your house, Ryan. If you ever had some Wet Bandits coming around, true. You could sort that out.
I could. I also have a big Aragorn sword as well, which, you know, might also help.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's heavy, though. Heavy and
true.
Long.
True. But yeah, the Wet Bandits see the party and then they decide to leave. I was wondering how long Kevin was actually going to be pulling all the strings on those things. Like, was he going to do that all night if they never drove by? Just keep dancing, Kevin. Keep dancing. Yeah.
That's tiring too. He was going hard. Yeah. He was like, oh yeah.
It gets like... The Christmas tree. 4 a.m. and he's just sweaty and tired and just slowly swaying from side to side.
The next day over in Paris, Kate finally gets a flight home to America. Yeah, which is good. So she leaves the family behind to hopefully try and get a different flight, and Kate makes her way to Scranton, of all places, from The Office.
Ooh.
Which is a bit of fun. So, yeah.
And she goes to Dunder Mifflin and she says, "Somebody help me, please. My son." And then Dwight is like, "I'm a police officer."
And, yeah, Michael Scott probably would hit on her. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? Date Mike. Yeah, Date Mike would come out. And
yeah.
Yeah. It would all go
perfectly. And then Prison Mike would talk, give Kevin a talking to. The Dementors. The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. Dane hates the American Office.
Oh, dude. So there's some good stuff
all
in
these
there.
References are... Yeah, all these references are lost on me.
God, mate. There's some good stuff in there. And then, anyway, so the next day, Kevin has to go out and do some grocery shopping because... he doesn't have any milk or washing detergent, I think it is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he goes out, does a bit of shopping, has a bit of a running with the shopkeep, who's just kind of, asking all those questions that Dane was talking about before. But yeah, he's becoming a bit of a braver man. And so he buys his stuff, walks home, and then he's no longer afraid of the furnace anymore as well. And he tells it to shut up. Which is so good. But then
when you guys were kids, did you ever like turn the lights off and then fucking piss bolt? Like,
yeah, I still do it.
Yeah.
Like you'd avoid the light, you'd like jump on you, like you turn the light off in your room and jump over your bed so that the thing under your bed wouldn't grab you.
I
don't let my feet slip out of the sheets or the blanket or anything. It stays tucked in.
Yeah, thank God that monster under my bed doesn't come out from under my bed, and it can only attack me when the lights are off. So
yeah. And if my foot's out of the sheet.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, but that night Harry orders Marv to go and check out the house and see if there's anyone actually there. And Kevin uses a mafia movie and the firecrackers on Marv to scare him away, which he kind of had a bit of a practice run doing it to the poor delivery driver the night before. He lights the firecrackers when the machine gun's going off, and Marv believes that one of the robbers that's in the house at the moment just got absolutely wasted. Harry and Marv decide to stake out the house the next day and see what's actually happening. So, and then back on in Scranton, Kate arrives in Scranton but can't get a connecting flight to Chicago, but ends up getting some help from the one and only John Candy, who happens to be the polka king of the Midwest, who agrees to drive her home as it's on their way to Milwaukee, I think they're going. Goddamn, I was talking to Dane about this before, but John Candy is an absolute delight. I wish he was in the entire second half of this movie. Yeah,
it's such a small cameo. Like, yeah, he's in it for 5 minutes. I wish he was one of the uncles in it that played more of a prominent role, or at least played like a good family member. John Hughes, who wrote this, and he's written so many absolute bangers like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Breakfast Club and so much great stuff, Uncle Buck and everything. He's used John Candy, I think, in like 3 or 4 of his films. They must have had like a really nice little relationship.
Yeah. But yeah, he's good. Can one of you guys tell me what the hell polka is?
Yeah, it's like a type of music. You ever listen to like any Weird Al things where he had like Angry White Boy Poker? Where he gets all of the like Angry White Boy songs but pokerizes them because the Weird Al Yankovic can play the accordion like a fucking pro.
Weird Al Yankovic is, oh my god, what a savior for humanity he is. What a delight. He's just a delight in everything.
Have you guys heard...
And his hair is just amazing.
Oh, his hair is so good. Have you guys heard the funny thing that's happening with Kid Rock and Weird Al? So Kid Rock released this new single, which is just absolutely goddamn atrocious. and everyone thought it was a parody song written by Weird Al, and the music video was meant to be hilarious, and everyone was like, thank you for gifting us this music video and song, and he's like, it wasn't me, this is a real song. Yeah. So anyway, the next day, the robbers are still staking out the house, and they see that our little boy, Kevin, the kid they almost ran over the other day, is the only one at home. And so they decide to rob the house that night. But while they are staking out the house, Kevin overhears their plan to rob the house, and they will arrive at 9 p.m. Which is so funny. They're like in his backyard screaming, we're going to rob the house at 9 p.m. And Kevin's just at the window listening.
They seem to think that, because they're not subtle and they're not quiet burglars, like they're shouting at each other their plans.
Mm.
And they seem to think that the entire neighborhood has gone apart from just a couple of houses. Because then that the old creepy neighbor, he's there all along. You'd think, and like, yeah, he's an old man or whatnot. But they are yelling their plan.
Yeah.
They're screaming.
You'd think he'd be like, hello, police. Yeah.
Yeah, there's people talking about robbing every house here.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's these guys on my street and they've been here for like a week. And they definitely don't live here. They just drive around in a van.
Yeah.
Yelling about robbing stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kevin just kind of chills out for the day. And then at night, he goes and gets in a little bit of Christmas spirit and goes to church, where he meets the spooky neighbor. And they have their first little talk, and they get a bit of an understanding for each other. Kevin gives him a bit of advice, how to handle his estranged son, which is pretty much just give him a call. And then the old man gives Kevin some advice that he's too old to be afraid. So instead of Kevin calling the police, he goes, I'm going to try and kill these people with elaborate traps. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite part of the movie. Yeah. Like, all the traps.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only so small, but it's so memorable and good.
Mm. Yeah. You don't really remember much up to this point. Yeah. But then it's all of this bit just fills in the rest of it. You're just like, oh, yeah. He just sets up traps and they just keep falling over for the last, for the whole movie.
Mm.
So anyway, then we get to Kevin setting up traps all over the house. So you see him plan a few, you see his little drawing, which is so cute, done in crayon on this piece of paper. with all of his plans. And he sets them all up and waits for the robbers to arrive. And then shit goes down. So I just wanted to put a little disclaimer in this section. So if you haven't heard anything about this movie or you haven't seen it, what I'm about to describe to you may sound like a completely fucked up horror movie, but this is actually a kid's comedy. So just be ready. What I might say sound a bit graphic, but yes, it's a comedy. So keep that in mind.
You're meant to laugh about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so our wet bandits come to the back door to start, both of them together, and begin taunting Kevin that he's home alone. So Kevin, holding Buzz's BB gun, puts it through the doggy door and ends up shooting Harry, I believe, in the nuts.
Yep.
He goes down real hard from that. So
That testicle is obliterated. That is, it's not coming back. It's
exploded. Yeah.
His baby makers are just puree at this point.
So then...
I've been shot with a BB gun before. Like, a mate of mine had one years ago. And I was like, oh, they meant to really hurt. And he's like, oh, shoot me with one. And I was like, no, fuck off. And he's like, no. Here. And then I put a big, heavy, like, winter coat on.
Yeah.
And he stood... still pretty close to me and shot me, and it still fucking hurt. Like, it's a typical thick winter coat compared to a testicle that's already the most delicate thing in the world.
Yep, yeah. Are they, they're just kind of like, they're plastic, like paintballs, aren't they? Is that them? Like a BB?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really solid little bits of plastic pellet.
Yeah.
They kill.
Yeah. But then what's worse is getting shot in the nuts or putting your head through the doggy door and getting shot square in the forehead like poor old Marv. Like, yeah, good lord.
Like, I have, like, a little bit of trivia about all of these traps. In real life, Harry and Marv may not have actually survived Kevin's attack. So, like, BB shots to the forehead and groin, and then, like, a steaming hot iron and a can of paint to the face, a flaming blowtorch to the scalp. They endured so much at the hands of Kevin, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sore trap.
Like, some a doctor, like, diagnosed the likely outcome of their injuries. And it, so it's like the iron and the paint cans probably would have caused a blowout fracture, leading to a serious disfigurement and debilitating double vision if not repaired properly. And the blowtorch would have caused skin and bone tissue to be so damaged and rotted that his skull bone would essentially be dying and would likely require a transplant. So... like, this isn't just like, oh, yeah, they're going to be bumped and bruised. Like, if they actually got nailed in the face and the groin with all this stuff, they would have been, like, in the ICU, bro.
Good lord. And, again, this is a kids' movie. And they like, these traps are fucked. Harry's been shot in the nuts and Marv has been shot in the forehead. So they decide to split up. So Harry goes to the front of the house and Marv tries to get in through the basement. So Harry goes up the stairs and slips on the ice that Kevin made and lands real hard on that ground.
Kevin gets a hose and he soaks the front and back steps because it's snowing in wintertime over there. So he just makes these steps covered in ice. And they go running down those steps quick as a flash and eat shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they actually used like handheld camera shots for this. Like, did for they? Those. Yeah, because they were like trying to get these shots and they were like, we can't make it look good and impactful, the fact that they are eating absolute shit. So they actually took the big old camera off the tripod and went and shot it handheld so they could get a really good angle of them absolutely axing themselves.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was going to say, big credits to the stunt team for this movie as well. They are damn good. Harry's just eating shit on the front steps and Marv tries to go down the stairs to the basement and slips down and, also eats shit after that. Eventually, though,
shit buffet.
Eventually, though, Harry gets up the stairs and reaches for the door handle, but cheeky old Kevin has put an absolutely burning hot thing on the other side of the door, so he gets the McAllister's M burnt into his hand, which will probably never go away. So he's permanently never got ever. That M scar forever. Yeah, so Marv finally gets into the basement as the door is actually open. But he looks around the dark basement for a way to turn on the light and finds a light pull switch. And he pulls it and a red hot iron falls through the chute and smacks him square in the face. Which, makes me cringe in pain every time I see that one. Horrific. Yeah.
Shall we, once we've run through, shall we pick our most cringeworthy injuries?
Yeah.
Like in the movie, our favourites?
Because what are we? Maybe halfway through? Maybe. Yeah. So anyway, then Harry goes, "Now screw this front door. I can't get in through that door without burning myself. So I'll go around the back." And they find out the back door they actually started at is open and unlocked. So he slowly steps inside. And Kevin has set up a mini flamethrower, which burns the top of his head.
He stands there for a good 8 seconds, screaming while he's on fire.
Yeah, he just stands there and screams as it burns down to his skull.
And that prosthetic, like that effect of his head that's all like burnt to shit, it's blistery, like because he was wearing a beanie and the top of the beanie's burnt off, but he just has like the waistband of it.
Yeah.
It looked horrific.
Oh
like,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, like, runs and shoves it in the flammable. Snow. Oh.
Yeah.
So flammable and melty beanies are made out of all that, you know, super flammable material. He's ugh. I didn't.
Oh my god. Yeah, this movie's so messed up. So anyway, so yeah, he's had his head burnt and his hand burnt and slipped on the ice. And then Marv has slipped down.
Just go home, wet bandits.
Yeah. Like, surely a couple VHS players are not worth, like, all of this.
That's the funniest thing is when they're listing all the things they can steal. Yeah, it's like VHS and toys. You're like, is this really worth it? Yeah, VHS stereos and toys. Yeah.
The 90s are a simpler time for burglars.
Yeah.
So anyway, our boy Marv wakes up after having an iron dropped on his head and has the imprint of the iron on his face now. He starts trying to make his way up the basement stairs into the house. But our boy Kevin has covered the stairs in a thick tar material, which forces Marv to lose a shoe each step and then a sock each step until he's barefoot, as it's so sticky.
Yeah.
And very similar to the scene from A Quiet Place, make sure you check out our previous episode on that movie if you haven't seen it, because this scene is almost identical.
Whoa!
Whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah, these movies are identical. Yeah.
And then
I'm telling you, that family saw this movie before the world fell apart.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Marv then steps on a very large nail, which goes into his head, and he falls down the bottom of the stairs, screaming.
Goes into
in pain.
His head.
Oh, sorry, into his foot. Sorry, yeah. That would make this it horrific.
Goes into his foot.
If he got a nail shot into his head.
Instead of a BB gun.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. So, yep. Everyone's having a real bad time. So. But I like their dedication to the robbery, though. Like, they're still going through all this stuff. They're like, yo, we've got to keep going. So,
the wet bandits have the hearts of lions. I've always said that.
Yep.
So brave.
So dedicated.
So Harry then rushes into the house and breaks through the flamethrower so it doesn't go off anymore, and chases Kevin into a different room and walks into what looks like a bit of glad wrap or sticky paper with some honey on it, and completely covers his top half of his body in this sticky material. And then Kevin turns on a fan, covering him in feathers, which is a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
The only
the most harmless
trap. So then Marv decides to not go up the basement stairs because of the nails and the tar. Oh my god, this one is horrific too. And goes around and finds an
this
open
is my
window.
Worst one.
Oh my god. And it finds an open window, which he just confidently steps into and slams his feet down onto glass Christmas ornaments that cover the floor. And so his feet would just be riddled with this glass. And oh my god.
And he still has to walk around on it for the rest of the movie.
And then he walks around with his feet
that
full of glass.
That, what we'll talk about next week with Die Hard and the glass and the feet in Die Hard.
Yeah, big no-no. And then, like, he just gets up and he walks into the next room and just sees Harry covered in feathers after he's just stepped on glass.
And he's like, where are your shoes? It's like, why are you dressed like a chicken?
They must have had nerve damage before going into this house to be able to withstand so much pain.
Yeah.
It's cold outside. They're just numb from the cold.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
But now our two boys are together. They're wet bandits. Back together again. And they follow Kevin. Our two wet bandits are back together. And they follow Kevin's voice into the main staircase and back foyer area. And both slip on toy cars, which cover the floor. Which would also really hurt because they are.
Yeah.
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 You know, he could have just covered the house in Legos.
I know. We thought that when we watched it. I was like, just cover the entire floor in Legos. Just somehow make them take off their shoes and then they'll never take another step. So.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but Kevin kind of taunts him to come and follow him up the stairs. And then the two robbers slowly start getting up and making their way up the stairs as Kevin throws a paint can attached to a string, which Harry avoids, and it smacks Marv square in the face, sending him flying back and landing hard on the toy cars. And then Kevin throws a second one, which Marv doesn't manage to avoid, and it smacks him and... Throws another one, which Harry doesn't manage to avoid, and it hits Harry square in the face, and he goes flying back and lands next to Marv, on the ground. This one is horrific as well, good lord. I just can't. Oh, my God.
But there's still, like, no, must get the VHS player.
Must get. Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is where Kevin has his fun little line about, are you thirsty for more?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is such a fun little line for him. So Kevin runs upstairs and calls the police from his parents' room and puts on a bit of a voice and actually says the neighbor's house is the one that's getting robbed. The robbers eventually get upstairs and Harry trips over a trip line that Kevin set up, but Marv manages to jump over it and grab onto Kevin's leg as Kevin is trying to run up to the third floor. So Kevin looks around for something that can help him, and Buzz's tarantula is right in front of him. So he quickly grabs that and places that on Marv's face, and he screams in terror as the spider crawls across his nose, which is horrific. I'm so scared that the spider's going to go in his mouth. Like, that's like...
Oh, nightmare stuff. I actually have a fun fact about this scene, because like he had a spider on his face and they needed to get the shot of it on his face, and it was a real spider, and Daniel Stern agreed, like, I'll do it for one take, which I wouldn't even do one take, like, he's a brave man.
Oh my god.
The only thing that wasn't real was his scream. He actually had to do it silently. He had to mime a scream and then have the sound dubbed in later so that the spider wouldn't get scared and run off his face.
Right.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. But they did it in one take, so because he was like, I don't want a fucking spider running around on me. Like.
Yeah.
How difficult would it be to have a tarantula on your face and do a pretend scream?
Oh, so hard.
That is like, acting.
And
where's the Oscar?
Yeah. That's one thing, like... Even now, like, animals, even little tiny animals have, like, handlers on set and who are looking out for the health and safety of the animal, even a spider. Like, famously, I'm having a mind blank. Jonah Hill, he, in Wolf of Wall Street, he's put a goldfish in his mouth because he wanted to do a real goldfish. He got in a lot of trouble for actually putting... the goldfish in his mouth. But yeah, they don't want the animals, even if they are like a bug or a fish, to be in duress. So they do things like this, like pretending to scream and all that kind of stuff so the animals don't get scared and die. Which I thought is a pretty fun little fact. You don't want to scare the spider, you got to mime your scream and dub it in later.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, well, that picture is burnt into my brain, so poor it. Paul Marv.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris Columbus.
Yeah. So anyway, Kevin runs upstairs, but Marv, in his screaming, throws the tarantula off and looks around for it and then finds it sitting on Harry's chest. So Marv wants to kill the tarantula, so grabs his crowbar and breaks all of Harry's ribs by smacking it. Oh my god.
Yep.
Brutal.
Absolutely goddamn brutal. Oh, I love the bit where after Harry's rolling around in pain, how he gets up and he takes the crowbar off off Marv and just smacks him in the arm with it. Oh, it's so good.
He just bounces right back up.
Yeah.
And you know, it's also probably, I think from Harry's perspective, because he's on the ground, doesn't know the spider's on him, and Marv has this crazed look in his eyes. And Harry doesn't know what's happened. He thinks his friend's about to cave his sculling with a crowbar, I imagine. And then his friend is just trying to help him in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
By shattering all his ribs to get a bug off his buddy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, this movie's so messed up. Then the boys follow him up to the third floor, and Kevin has used the zip line that he has, which is attached from that window to his treehouse in the backyard. Kevin kind of taunts him to follow him again, and the wet bandits consider going back through the house, but decide to not go through there, because I think he calls it his house of horrors or whatever it is. So the wet bandits decide to try and climb along the zip line to get to Kevin. But of course, Kevin wanted them to do that. So when they're about halfway out across the zip line, he cuts the line, sending the two of them flying into the house. George of the Jungle style. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brendan Fraser. Fun fact. Oh my God.
Fun fact. When I was a child, I think I was about 3. I really wanted to watch George of the Jungle, and I stole a VHS tape copy of George of the Jungle when I was 3. I shoved it up my little jumper while I was in the pram, and my mum made me walk back and hand it back to him.
Oh. I was going to say, is this why you're still on the run, or is that a different thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in an undisclosed location in the Canary Islands.
I knew it.
Little three-year-old Kieran would have been adorable, and then somewhere along the line, it all went wrong.
All went perfect.
Little klepto I was. I used to steal a lot when I was a toddler, apparently.
Oh, damn. You just admitted to, like, a 10-year crime spree. The police are still trying to solve
We've all got these her, boys. Crimes. Bring her in.
We've got a confession. Get her.
The guilt has been eating her away for all these years.
They start swinging in the windows like iced tea.
good.
So anyway.
I'll never make you both watch New Jack City again.
Please and thank you.
Once was enough.
Yeah. So the two boys have flown into the house and are laying in the snow. Probably reconsidering their lives after all of this. But yeah, Kevin runs past them and runs across the backyard into the neighbor's house. And Harry and Marv, get up to follow him, but decide rather than following his path into the house, which is up through the basement, they decide to go in through the front door. And so Kevin runs up the basement stairs, opens the door into the house, and the two wet bandits are there and they catch him.
This is the house that they've already broken into and flooded as well.
Yes.
Like so. You see the effects of their stupid little, of Marv's stupid little choice.
Of being the wet bandits.
That house is just Atlantis now. It's fucked.
This line I wrote is kind of messed up, but this doesn't happen. They hang Kevin from the back door. I meant to write.
It is a horror movie.
They hang credits. Kevin from his sweater on the back door.
A very different movie.
Yeah, yeah. And they talk about how they're going to get their revenge on him by cutting off his fingers one by one, I think is what Harry says.
He's gonna bite his fingers off.
So they've gone from, like, VHS machine burglars to, like, child killers, real quick.
Torturers and child killers. Yeah. But then Kevin's neighbour, the older man, appears and knocks them out with his snow shovel.
Yeah, splits their skulls by cracking them both in the head with a fucking snow shovel.
As if they haven't had enough head trauma.
Kevin... Kevin could have just been like, hey, like after he makes friends with the old guy, like, hey, there's these guys who have been trying to break into my house. Would you mind giving me a hand?
But yeah, then the old neighbor takes Kevin back to his house. And Kevin watches the police arrive at the neighbor's house and arrests the pair, the wet bandits. And there's a great line by one of the policemen relating to the calling card, making it easy for the police to know which houses they've robbed as they get put into the police van, which is quite funny.
The look that Joe Pesci shoots Daniel Stern because he's clearly gotten stuck into him in the past is about him flooding the house.
Yeah.
And the glare, the knowing glare that Joe Pesci gives him.
Oh, it's so good. And then
he keeps talking about everything. He's like, shut up, shut up.
Yeah, not the smartest partner in crime.
No.
And then, yeah, Kevin waves them off as they're arrested. Which is a bit cute. So, yeah. Then the next morning, Kevin wakes up and is still home alone on Christmas Day. And becomes a bit sad.
I'm wondering, why did the police be like, yeah, I'll leave you home alone again?
Yeah. But very strange.
Terrible duty of care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit weird. so Kevin set up the house to be all Christmassy, set up the tree and put all the stockings up. And he's just a bit sad, but then he hears his mum call out to him from another room and they've reunited finally at last. However, at the same time, then his whole family arrives home as well for Christmas. And so all is good. Kevin only... tortured a few robbers the night before, but thank God it's Christmas in my family's home, so all is good in the world.
I wonder if his family ever find out about Kevin's, you know, elaborate torture traps. And like, oh, so what have you been up to? And he's like, oh, I did shopping, I did this, I did that. And then he'd be like, also, I set a man's skull on fire. I slammed a couple of paint cans into him. I put a spider in another guy, and like, Kevin, fucking hell.
Yeah. Like, we need to get you a psychologist.
Need some counselling.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine if he left a trap set up too that he forgot about. And then like
his
mum.
Family comes in.
His mum gets like caught in a net and stabbed by a pitchfork or something. He's just like, oh, sorry.
He would have had a big night cleaning all of that up.
Oh, like, yeah.
It took him all day to set it up. Like, would have taken him all night to clean it back up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, then everyone's happy, reunited. Buzz is even like, you're pretty cool, Kevin. I wish I was you, pretty much. But then goes up to his room and then yells out, Kevin, what did you do to my room? And Kevin looks at the camera and gives it a bit of a wink. And that's Home Alone, everybody.
And the old man next door rekindles with his family. Reconnects, rather, with his family. Which is a nice little nod.
Yeah. And then gives a good wave to Kevin. He's like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I've learned a lot from you.
Good pick, Ryan.
Yeah. Pretty fun movie. Quite weird writing it down. writing all these traps down. It's a bit strange, but good fun movie. If you want to get in that Christmas spirit, it's a pretty fun one. And like there's quite a few Christmas songs in it, so it does kind of get you in the mood. But it's
You said I hadn't realized either, Ryan, that John Williams did the score.
Oh
yeah.
When you told us.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joy of a score as well. And like you can tell that him and Christopher Columbus have similar ideas in terms of music. Because, like, there are some Harry Potter themes in this. Like, 1,000,000%. Like,
Harry Potter came out after this, and John Williams did the Harry Potter music.
Oh, shit, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they sound so similar and magical. Yeah.
Have you seen, like, if you get some of John Williams's music and you play it at the same time... It actually, like, so Superman and the Star Wars music and Indiana Jones all are really similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh my God. I think John Williams, I think He did Superman, like the original, like, you know, Christopher Reeves. Theme. Star Wars, Harry Potter. I'm pretty sure he did the Jurassic Park music. And he did Home Alone. He did Indiana Jones.
God damn.
Cracker. What cracker a resume. A
good lord.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Bless him. Bless John Williams. But guys, what did...
God bless us, everyone.
What did you guys think of Home Alone?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's a fun movie. When you don't think about, like, why are the police shit? Why is this family so stupid? It's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even really think about, like, the bad plot conveniences and contrivances that happen when you're watching it. It's just it's just so much fun. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's a good time. Like I said, I hated it as a younger fella, but when I rewatched it again, I was like, this is just a joy. Mm. And I'm a big Joe Pesci fan as well. Like I said, I really like Macaulay Culkin, and especially his brother these days. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Good old time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good fun
good
movie.
Old time.
Yeah. Did you guys have any fun bits of trivia? Any fun facts for me?
I think I shared, like, all of my little bits of trivia. Mm.
Yeah, we've gone through
trivia. One thing I did want to mention is, like, Joe Pesci went real method with his acting in this. So instead of... He didn't have a good relationship with Macaulay Culkin on set. He actually just avoided him so that Macaulay Culkin would actually be afraid of him. Mm. And Macaulay Culkin, when he was going to... When he got hung on the door by his sweater... they were rehearsing for that scene, and Macaulay Culkin actually said, like, in the first Home Alone, they hung me up on a coat hook, and Pesci says, I'm going to bite all of your fingers off one at a time. And during one of the rehearsals, he actually bit Macaulay Culkin and broke the skin, which scared the shit out of him even more. Oh,
damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to bite your fingers off. Oh, shit. Bit half your finger off. Sorry.
I actually did.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome. I do like that. I think that's really interesting how actors, like, separate themselves from the main characters. Because it gives, like, that bit of
illusion.
Yeah,
like Alan Rickman and...
Yeah.
Mm. Alan Rickman in Harry Potter kind of tried to make sure that the kids were afraid of him for real.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman. Oh.
Oh, speaking of
God
Alan
rest his
Rickman.
Soul.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Hans Gruber.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Alan Rickman.
Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber.
I only had one very fun fact, which I thought was pretty much mind-blowing. So, Home Alone grossed $476.7 million, and it was the highest grossing live-action comedy until the release of The Hangover Part 2 in 2011.
What?
That's a terrible movie.
How did The Hangover 2 make more money than Home Alone?
I was actually thinking about this the other day. I wish they just made one Hangover movie.
Oh.
Like, one...
God, wouldn't it be like a classic movie if it was just one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God, that third one is a literal piece of shit. That is such a bad movie. Oh.
Yeah.
I liked the third more than the second because they tried to do something a little bit different by making it a bit of a crime comedy sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Good lord.
But Home Alone, yeah. It deserves better than to lose out to The Hangover Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, that was our first family movie we've discussed, but probably the most violent.
Yeah. Most violent family movie.
I like the gore in this more than I like the gore in Spiral.
Yeah.
Fuck
Spiral. Yeah, the prosthetics and the makeup were much better than this, than that piece of shit movie.
Yeah. And the traps
what
were better in this
than Spiral. Yeah. What was your favourite traps, guys? Or was the one that made your skin crawl the most?
Oh, when Marv comes in the window and steps on the glass baubles,
it's horrific.
Yeah, it's
the sound effects as well. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
And it's just such a bad scene. Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm really gonna not like that. Yeah. Oh, no.
Mine was definitely the nail in the foot. Because you add the tar as well, yeah, and the nail goes into the foot.
Oh yeah, I think it's the flamethrower that, because like that has burnt his scalp beyond repair. Mm. Yeah. Like he's never having hair again.
Yeah. Like, why would you keep going after that? You've got third degree burns, bro. Like, Lord. Go home.
Yeah.
Go to a hospital.
No stereo or VCR is worth that. Like,
no.
Oh my good Lord. yeah. Did you guys have any recommendations of if a person likes a certain movie, they might like a little bit of a Home Alone in their lives? Well, I've got one for all you sickos out there. If you are a fan of Saw 2, which is the Saw where a bunch of people are trapped in a house and have to try and escape through all these vicious traps, yeah, you will probably like Home Alone.
Mm. I've got one. It's I don't know if either of you guys have ever seen Bad Santa.
yeah, with Billy Bob. Yeah.
Yeah, and he plays like a real alcoholic, angry piece of shit, and he's off-cider. They're Santa and his elf, and they burgle Westfield chains basically on Christmas Eve, and they steal everything from all the shops, and just because of the burglary comparison, not the torture. It's a Bad Santa's a dark comedy, but it's not horribly violent like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've got one.
Yeah.
I've got one. If you like Matilda, if you like this movie, you'd like Matilda.
Yeah.
That, you know.
The whimsical. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito, very whimsical. Children getting up to no good and sticking it to the bad guys.
What a beautiful movie. Oh my God. And book.
Yep. Beautiful movie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Do you guys have any reviews for this movie?
I do. A lot of the reviews I found were quite glowing in praise, but I've got a 1 out of 10 star here. Oh, and my God. I don't know if it's taking the piss or not, or if it's just someone who has no concept of fun. What a violent, sick piece of garbage. I caught this in a theater back in 1990. I saw it after a long week at work and expected a mindless, fun PG movie. I was horrified by what I got. For starters, the story is impossible. Leaving behind an 8-year-old kid by mistake, with 3 question marks? Come on! Also, the whole family is heavily dysfunctional and not funny at all. Culkin manages to set up elaborate traps and stuff that no 8-year-old could ever do. When Pesci and Stern show up, the movie goes from stupid and unbelievable to extremely violent. These poor guys repeatedly get burnt and hit repeatedly on the head and the face again and again, and it's all played for laughs. I was sickened by the level of violence in this film. How did this get a PG rating? Also, violence against people is not in capitals. Funny. It got to the point that it was rooting for the burglars. Aside from all this, it was just simply not funny. It was sick, stupid, and unbelievable. But yes, once again, not funny. 1 star. Oh,
that is the best review ever. That's definitely like a Karen or one of those mums in the mum against Home Alone would be her group name.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, if
that's a gold review.
That is a good review. Mm. If we want to go down the bad rabbit hole, I've got a 1 star from Letterboxd by a girl called Alice. This is only the first paragraph of what looks like a 2-page review, but I'll just do the first paragraph. So, yeah, it's a bit of a monster. So, all right. So this is a lousy movie with a hammy child actor, a cloying John Williams score, and a comedy screenplay, comedy in inverted commas, a screenplay by John Hughes that's low on actual jokes. But what fascinates me about Home Alone is its purity. Deep down, it's a D.W. Griffith-style melodrama with 3 intercut lines of action. The child at home, his mother to the rescue, and the thieves repeatedly attempting to infiltrate the homestead. The only real twist applied to this ancient formula is that here, the would-be victims become the hero, fending off the villainous buffoons by rehashing old Three Stooges gags. Within this melodramatic template, the film also engages in a a wish fulfillment fantasy, which slowly transforms into a morality tale about the value of family. This movie sucks.
What the fuck? Oh my god, people have a lot of opinions about this movie.
No, this fun little kids movie. People are just hating on.
I also have a 1-star review.
Oh wow, it's not 3 1-stars. Guys's.
It's not as long as yours, but I just thought, why not? So, overrated. The burglar finale is great, but too much nonsense. Kevin was too forgiving of an abusive family. The sequel is a bit darker and a tad better. 1-star.
Oh my god. Oh well, that was fun.
Bam, have you guys watched anything recently that you want to share with the group?
I'm rewatching Breaking Bad at the moment.
Oh yeah.
Stop it.
And the cop that that Kevin's mum calls in Home Alone, he pops up in an early season of Breaking Bad as well.
Stop it.
But I've been rewatching that. It's been quite a while since I've seen it, and I am bloody loving it. Once that's finished, straight into Better Call Saul all over again.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I should really watch Better Call Saul. I still haven't.
It's incredible. Really? The final season comes out soon.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll try and catch up for the final season.
It's a bit of a slow burn. The first 2 seasons are a bit slow, but it gets real hectic.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, killer. What about you, CC?
I watched a documentary a couple days ago on Netflix. It's a Netflix documentary. It's called 14 Peaks, Nothing is Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really interesting. It's about a guy trying to climb, like, the 14 highest peaks in the Himalayas and, like, Mount Everest and everything. And, yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, awesome. So
if you like little docos, that one's a fun one. Not too long. And, yeah, just a cool story. And it's about stuff that, you know, not everybody does every day. Nobody climbs a bloody mountain, you know, whenever they feel like it. So. And he broke, like, a whole bunch of world records. He climbed them all within, like, a few months or something. And he did it really fast.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Really quickly. He bloody speed ran all the mountains. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. It's impressive. Very impressive. As you guys know, I'm a big Jurassic Park fan. And the 3rd season of the kids show Camp Cretaceous has just come out. Have you guys seen any of the cartoon?
No, I've never even heard of it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, same as Kieran. I haven't.
Yeah, it is a kid's show, but the dinosaurs are done so goddamn well. Like, it's a cartoon. The whole thing's a cartoon. Really? But, it's the 4th season. Good lord. Yeah, the 4th season of Camp Cretaceous. The 2nd and 3rd season are absolute bangers. Like, shit is going down. So, like, rough storyline is the first season takes place at the time of Jurassic World, and then the island gets evacuated except for these 6 kids.
Yeah.
And the 6 kids are the only ones left on the island. And so after all the dinosaurs have escaped from their enclosures, they're still living on the island. And then so it's them just trying to survive.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a good fun ride. Like, some of the scripting and the voice acting's a bit average at times. But yeah, the animation's really good for, especially the dinosaurs. And the story is pretty interesting. I've just started that last season of that, which is going a bit weird. So let's see how that goes. But
nice.
It's good fun. And, like, it's got the score and everything from, like, the John Williams score and all of that. So it's just beautiful. Yeah. Almost makes me cry every time.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're back to the start now.
Oh my god.
Yes, we're back at my corner of the triangle. Oh,
and if you boys thought that I was excited talking about Terminator, holy shit. Kieran, what movie are we talking about next week?
We're going to be watching a classic Christmas movie, Die Hard.
My number one film of all time. I fucking love the movie. I love the book. Oh my god, I can't wait.
Jeezy Peach.
It might be a little collab of a movie review next week, because Dane does love it, and he's a bit sad that Die Hard hasn't fallen on his week to talk about it. So I might let him take over whenever he feels like
it. Let him take
like
the reins if we get a bit lost.
It's just, it's the perfect action movie. Oh, I'll save it. I'll save it for next week.
Yeah.
No. Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, boys, thanks for watching movies. Don't forget, everybody, check us out, ticketstubspodcast.com, ticketstubspod on Instagram, our Facebook page, and if you could leave us a review and let us know what you think of how we're going, we would really appreciate it, and we just love hearing your feedback, and if we're doing good, could do better, let us know.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Or if you just want to chat, ask us a question, anything, hit us up.
Yeah.
Or any suggestions of movies for us to look at.
Yeah. We'd love your suggestions. We're going to be watching Crawl after Christmas.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Tim, for your suggestion.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be doing two Christmas episodes, which is this one and obviously next week. And then, yeah, we'll be going back and doing just random movies. Because we'll be all Christmased out by then. So.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Well, boys, thanks for watching movies with me.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Good suggestion, Ryan.
Yeah. It's a great movie. So much fun. Love Macaulay Culkin. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the show one day. Let's aim big.
Wake me up early to record again.
if Red Letter Media can get Macaulay Culkin, then one day maybe we can too.
Maybe we can too.
That's it.
Alrighty, my buddies.
Well, well.
Till next week.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.